Good morning, everyone. Joel said for me to introduce myself. I don't even have to. Boy, this media world we live in, it does everything, doesn't it? But before I used to introduce myself as Pastor Dave's wife, and now I introduce myself as Pastor Joel's mom. Well, here we are in session 7 of our life message series. And I don't know about you, but I have really enjoyed these series. How many of you have really enjoyed these series? Man, the previous speakers that we've had, Dave, Brian, Jason, Joel, Catherine, Anatoly, we're a blessed church to be able to have gifted speakers in our midst. Amen. I had to catch up the last two off because I wasn't here the last two Sundays, but I caught up. I got them online and they were powerful. Aren't you glad, though, that God makes us all different and we all can communicate the word differently as his children? And I believe that these messages have really been self-revealing messages, but ones that we can all relate to and learn from. But I had to think about this a little bit, this life lesson thing, because I thought, wow, the Holy Spirit has taught me so many lessons in life, and I had to think, well, who am I? What is my life message? And over the years, people have said to me, Linda, in your relationship to one another and to people, Dave is the head, but you are the heart. You don't know how many times I've heard that. And a few weeks ago, someone said, well, Dave is the sword, the truth guy. And I've heard you say that you're the battle axe. Well, you're the passionate warrior. Well, the Bible talks about mercy and truth. And it says in Psalm 85, verse 10, it says, mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Well, in our home, mercy and truth not only met together, but we've been living together. It was 54 years this past Tuesday when we celebrated our wedding anniversary. So, and if you want somebody to speak to you straight and tell you how it is, then you go to Dave, right? Then if you need somebody to love you afterwards, then you come to me. So God spoke to me that my life message was all about the heart. His heart for me, my heart for him, and my heart for people. So today I want to talk to you about the importance of taking care of your heart. In our world, in our society, when it refers to our heart, it's speaking about our emotional center, the place where love and feeling dwell. Well, I'm a real feeler. If you don't know me already, once you get to know me, you'll know that. I feel deeply about a lot of things. The sick, the hurting, my family, my dog, and notice the order, I put this in the right order this time, my friends, young people, my country, the war in Ukraine, the government of our nation, the Blue Jays baseball team, and even my flowers on my deck. I talk to them and I look out, oh, you look so pretty this morning out there on the deck. But first and foremost, I feel deeply about my relationship with Jesus and my relationship with you, his body. You know, it can be hard being a feeler. A heart person has pain that can go really deep. It can go really deep at times, but so can love and joy on the other hand. You cry tears of joy, and you cry tears of sorrow. But, you know, they're tears of fulfillment. But Pastor Joel, you know, I think he gets that crying stuff from me. So, in 1987, when I had to leave Swan River and my church family there, as God was asking us to come to Regina, it just felt like my heart was being ripped out of me. And I just felt like, I can't let this ever happen again. So what I decided to do was to not give my heart 100% here when I came to Regina. I said, God, I'm just going to hold back some of my heart so that if you ever ask me to move again, I won't have to go through this pain that I've had to do this last while. So that was the way I purposed it. I'm going to hold back some of my heart. Well, you know, that lasted probably for about 3 or 4 months. And that's not who I am. I had to give my whole heart again to the ministry and the people here. You see, Proverbs 4:23 says, above all, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Our heart determines the course of our life. Whatever we allow to enter our heart will be expressed in our lives and actions in positive or negative ways. Matthew 15:18-19 says, but the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. Luke 6 says, the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. And that's why the scripture says that we are to watch over our hearts with all diligence, to keep it with utmost care, with all vigilance. You see, God is really giving us a warning in Proverbs 4:23 when he tells us to watch over our heart and guard it. It's a warning that we need to heed, people of God, especially in these days of great deception. Well, a couple of months ago, I was reading 1 Kings 11, and it was the story of Solomon's demise. And the previous 10 chapters had talked about his heart for God, the incredible wisdom that God gave him, the splendor of his reign, his wealth, his prosperity. But here in 1 Kings 11, there was a different Solomon that I was reading about. And I want you to read about this different Solomon with me on the screen. It says, King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughter, Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites. They were from nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, you must not intermarry with them because they will surely turn your hearts after other gods. Nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love. He had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines, and his wives led him astray. I can understand that because my husband says he has enough problems with just having one wife. Well, as Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God as the heart of David his father had been. He followed Ashtoreth, the goddess of Sidonians, and Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. So Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and he did not follow the Lord completely, as David his father had done. Well, I did a little study on those gods that he was following, Ashtoreth and on Molech. And you know what I found out about Ashtoreth? She was a goddess of sexual love and war. And her name indicated shame. And when you read things about the sacrifices, about the cutting that people did, about the orgies, the despicable sexual acts that took place as they worshiped this god. And then there was Molech, the god of fertility, who was involved with child sacrifice. People would sacrifice their children. I think we still worship the god of Molech, only we call it abortion now. But you know what? When I read this, I was blown away. I was blown away by King Solomon. How could this be, this guy that worshiped the Lord the way he did? And here he is serving these other gods. What happened to this amazing king? Well, he didn't heed God's warning to stay away from certain nations and to not intermarry with them, or they would steal his heart. He did not guard his heart. His heart became disobedient, and it was ruled by the lust of his flesh. He had a divided heart, not like David, his father, who followed God fully. He turned to the seducing spirits of false gods. And then in verse 9, it says that the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord and the God of Israel, who had appeared to him not just once, but twice. And the result was, because he didn't keep the Lord's command, his covenant and decrees, he had his kingdom torn away from him, and his kingdom was given to one of his subordinates. Boy, when I saw that, I thought, if someone like Solomon, with all his wisdom, has his heart stolen away from God, so can we. We still have to deal with fleshly lusts. We have to deal with the pull of the world. We have to deal with seducing spirits and great deception in our world that is turning people's hearts away today from the one true God. Every time we turn on the TV, we see it. People calling good evil and evil good. Well, Solomon grew cool and indifferent in his relationship to God. It says he left his first love. He lost his zeal for God, and he didn't persevere to the end as he had begun. Because he tolerated and maintained his wives in their idolatry and even joined them in it, he developed an apostate heart. I don't know about you folks, but for me, this shakes me up when I think of this. That such a wise man, and now he's in his old age, you think he would have learned something, right? Was made such a fool of by foolish women, that one who had so often warned others of danger should himself be bewitched with it. That a man so zealous for the worship of God, who prayed that excellent prayer at the dedication of the temple, should do these sinful things, that we don't recognize him anymore. Well, the Bible says, let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Well, at this point in my message, I want to introduce my good friend, Nora Magesa. Nora, would you like to come up here? Because Nora has been part of a ladies' prayer group that I lead in the mornings. And she's been a great blessing to that prayer group. But, you know, she's in the middle of the prayer meeting one morning. She just shared some things that had been going on in her heart that I had no idea of. And it was right around the time that I was reading this in 1 Kings about watching over your heart with all diligence. And I said, Nora, that is so good. Would you share that in the message? And she said she would.
Thank you, Linda. So I've always known myself to be a person of prayer. Everyone who knows me from as little as I can remember, I was raised by an intercessor. My mom was that kind of person that when you're in the middle of the conversation, she would just say, let's start praying, the Spirit is moving. So we could pray for hours and hours. She's late, but she left me an important gift, the gift of prayer. So even in college, everywhere else, I've known myself to be an intercessor. I love prayer. I love the word of God. But suddenly, a few months ago, I just felt this heaviness and undesire to pray. I didn't want to pray. I didn't want to attend our Tuesday prayer session, which I always look forward to. And I missed the first service, and Linda called, oh, hi, how are you? We missed you at the prayer session, and I gave, there's always an excuse, right? Family, chores, you always have an excuse, appointments. And I missed the next one, and she called again. I missed the next one, she texted me. And on the fourth one, I said, oh, I have to go before Linda calls me again. I didn't want to attend, but I just had to go for Linda's sake. And as the lady started sharing the word of God and we started praying, we always pray for different things, and we are passionate about the prodigals, those who have come to Christ and walked away, and those that are still out in the world and are still looking for their way to Christ. So we are always praying for them. And as I was sitting there, the Lord reminded me how we always pray for the prodigals, and he said, Do you see what is happening here? You are always praying for the prodigals. You are always praying for the people that are out there in the world. But there are people who are in the same situation as you are today. They are in church. They are serving God. The body is there. They are coming to church. They are singing in worship. They are sitting in the Tuesday prayer group like you're doing right now, but their heart is not there. Their heart is not weakened. They are fighting things every time. They are struggling to hold on to their faith. They are struggling to maintain that path in Christ. So in as much as we are praying for people out there, there is need to pray to watch over our hearts, because the moment the heart is weakened, that's the first step to backsliding. So it just hit me there, and we started to pray that day that we should pray for such people. There is need to pray for people to remain steadfast, to be remain rooted in the word of God, and so that that passion that we had for Christ when we accepted him as our Lord and Savior, the passion we had back then, the passion we had when you were a little girl at Sunday school, the passion you had when you came back to Christ should always be there and should always be revived. And we pray that day for everyone. And even up today, when I don't want to pray, there's always that reminder in the back of my mind to always pray without ceasing. And the Bible says, lest you fall into temptation. And the Bible goes on to say, the devil is there and he's rolling like a lion. He's not like a lion, but he's rolling like one, and he's always looking for someone to devour. So we should always watch over our hearts. And it brings us the question, what should we watch over? And I hand over to Linda to answer that.
Amen. Amen. I thought I was just calling her because she had mentioned to me about her children being sick and different ones having illnesses. I had no idea what was going on in Nora's heart. And when she shared that, I thought, wow, Nora has been always, as she said, an intercessor, a strong Christian, a spiritual woman of God. But we can never take our hearts for granted, right? Well, what should we guard our hearts from? What places or areas in our hearts do we need to watch out for? Well, we need to watch out for lukewarmness or laziness in our hearts. And Nora referred to this. Proverbs 24, 33 to 34 says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. This proverb warns us of laziness. You know that in the natural, if we don't work, we don't eat. If we don't study, we fail the test. If we don't make the effort for things, we will experience lack in our lives. We won't reach our goals. And the same is true with us spiritually. If we don't feed our hearts with God's word, if we don't pray, if we don't worship, if we don't fellowship with the body, if we don't share our faith, our hearts get dull. They get lazy, they get lukewarm, and coldness sets in. And then pretty soon we end up in a place spiritually where we don't want to be. But notice this doesn't happen all at once. It's the subtle drawing away, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, a little here, a little there. We don't even recognize it sometimes. And then pretty soon, the garden of our heart is full of weeds. It's overgrown with things that aren't good for us and that don't produce good fruit in our lives. Have you ever noticed in the campfires that you have probably had this summer that the coals and the logs that are right in the midst of the flame, where it's the hottest, that's where those logs keep burning brightly. That's where those coals keep red hot. But if they get pushed to the side, this is what I've noticed, those logs that are out here or those coals that fall out here, pretty soon they cool down, don't they? And if they don't get back into the midst of the fire, if you don't rake them back in, they're going to burn out completely. And when I saw that, I thought, that's just like us, just like the coals in the fire. We need to draw close to Christ in our hearts, and we need to be in the midst of his body. We need to be in the place where God's Spirit is moving so that he can light a fire with us. Remember that old song we used to sing, give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. But we have to receive the oil of the Holy Spirit. Last week at camp, Hungry Horse Camp, There was probably, this year was a smaller attendance from our church. We probably had, I think I counted about 85 people from our church. Usually we have, you know, close to 150 people. But, you know, this camp was bigger than last camp. But it wasn't about numbers. It was about the moving of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, it was a great camp. Children and youth were touched by his presence. Some got baptized in water. Some were baptized in the Holy Spirit. I saw adults experiencing tears of repentance and tears of joy as refreshing came from the word, came from the worship, came from the altar ministry. I felt like I fed my heart for 4 days. And Dave and I, after the camp was over, we ended up going to Creston, BC, to one of our LifeLinks churches up there. And we had the joy of hearing people who had gone to the camp from their church that Sunday give testimonies of what God spoke to them or what God did in their hearts. And their hearts were refreshed. They were restored and they were renewed in God's presence. They got into the center of the fire. Secondly, we need to watch out for offense, jealousy, and pride in our heart. These are things that can creep into our lives that cause negative things to happen to us. As Nora said, the enemy is after our heart. He sows tares in our field and weeds in the garden of our heart. And Satan hates a heart that is after God. So watch out for his snares. Watch out for his schemes and his inward reasonings that 2 Corinthians 2:11 talks about. You know what? If you're offended with someone, don't say, well, they hurt me. I've done that before. Well, they hurt me. No, call it like it is. It's offense you're experiencing. And don't nurse that offense. Do you know that many people stop coming to church, or they stopped attending a life group, or they can even stop seeing their families over little offenses that become big ones in their mind? And then what happens is Satan jumps in that open door that's been given him, and he builds a stronghold of unforgiveness in us. We have to be ruthless to put away offense before he gets a chance to build this stronghold of unforgiveness. And deal with jealousy in your heart. If you see someone getting a promotion that you wanted at work or at church, deal with that jealousy. Understand that it's God that raises up people, and let God promote you. Because if you have to get a job or a ministry position by yourself, you know what? You're only going to have yourself to rely on in it. And you don't want to be on the wrong seat of the bus, as there's going to be no grace for you there, and you'll be frustrated. And so will others that work with you or for you, or you try to minister to. Do you know that some people won't do a job or minister without a title? And that was the difference between Saul and David. Saul was always wanting to be seen before the people. But the people who God called were people like David, men after his own heart, the Bible said. And these men and women were always usually resistant or felt inadequate to fulfill the call of God in their lives. And they would say, I can't do this. I'm not adequate enough. I can't do this. But they ended up doing it, believing that if God called them, then he could do it through them. And that's the kind of heart that God can use. Maybe he's working on you so you will be a safe person, ready to be given responsibilities that will not hurt you or hurt others. God is at work. Let's trust him with our hearts. Let's watch out for these little things that can cause us to move away from the spirit that God is looking for in us. And thirdly, watch over your heart when you're in places of pain and discouragement. Guard your heart when something hurts it so bad. Maybe it's the loss of a spouse, a child or grandchild that is causing you deep grief. Maybe you've had sickness and pain from that sickness for a long time. You know, every day I think of our sister Debbie, and we pray for her, and it breaks my heart to think of her in the hospital, and this has been over a month now that she's lived with this intense pain. I mean, she's had pain before, and now this is even more intense for a long time. We need to keep praying for Debbie, keep praying for that breakthrough for her. She's had such a tremendous attitude in all this. Has someone criticized you or spoken against you, and this has wounded your heart deeply? Well, the Lord says, if that's the case, don't let your heart get hard. He said, forgive those who curse you. Pray for those who speak negatively against you. And you know what that does? That frees up our heart again. Have you been waiting? Have you been waiting a long time to see a particular prayer answered and you were discouraged in the waiting? You know, in these times, many people lose heart. We let bitterness come in. We let unbelief come in. And we don't have that heart anymore after God. We start turning away from God. We can become angry with him and stop following him. But others will use these times of tribulation to gain strength from God. You know what I've found in my own life? When I'm going through this waiting time or this time of pain or this time of sorrow, I find that if my heart is weighed down with sorrow, it affects the way that I relate to my own family, the way I relate to my church family. I stop being available for God to use me, and I get obsessed and held captive by the sorrow. And I'm robbed of my joy. I'm robbed of my strength. And you know who ends up winning in my life? Satan. And he's the last guy I want to win in my life. We mustn't let this happen to us, right? If we see it happening to others, we need to encourage one another. My daughter and I at camp, we were having a close time together at the altar one night. And the two of us kind of covenanted together about something that we're praying and believing God for. And both of us go down sometimes in this prayer need that we have. And we're not good for one another. She'll tell me some negative things or I'll tell her. And we covenanted together to say, let's encourage one another. Let's speak the words that God wants us to speak in this situation. Let's watch over our hearts and make sure that what is coming out of our mouth is the right thing. And so we made that covenant. And so far, well, we're only a week in, but we're doing pretty good, right? But one of my life verses has been in Psalm 61, 1-3. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. You see, when your heart feels faint from adversity in your life, this isn't a time to run from God. This is a time to run to that rock that is higher than you. And he can take that heaviness from your heart. I've experienced that again and again. And fourthly, we need to watch over our heart when we've experienced success or being used by God. Because Elijah, the great prophet of God, challenged the prophets of Baal. He called down fire from heaven that burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the soil, and all the water in the trench around the altar. It was a miracle that caused the people to cry out, "The Lord, he is God." Wow, Elijah, you great man of faith and power. This was a miracle in your life, a great victory. God had come through for him. But the very next day, the evil Jezebel threatens to take his life. And where does he end up? In the desert, in despair, in depression from this heavy spiritual attack on his person. And this can happen to us too. Every time I know that Joel and Anatoly and the teams go to minister in other nations, the enemy is there to work on them before they go to try and rob and steal from them. And every time after they get home. And we can become proud and lifted up after our victories. And then the devil can attack us there. Or we could be attacked with doubt, intimidation, and fear. We need to keep our heart humble by acknowledging God in our successes, knowing that without God, we can't do anything. If we have that kind of an attitude, that keeps our heart humble. Be aware, alert, and prepared for the enemy to try and belittle you. Guard your heart. Fifthly, watching over your heart involves maintaining a healthy fear of God. I cannot reiterate how important this point is. This is very important. Frank Hackett had a whole message at camp on the fear of God. He's from a pastor of our Lifelinks Church in Cranbrook, BC. He shared an excellent message on this at camp. If you get a chance to listen to the CD, be sure you do. He was saying that we see far too many losses in the kingdom of God because of a poor understanding of the fear of the Lord. You see, God is not just our buddy. He's not just our friend. He's those things. But he is the Lord, and he requires daily obedience. See, we can love Jesus, but we can lose a healthy fear of the Father, a healthy respect for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The fear of the Lord is not about being scared to be in the presence of God. It's about being terrified that we would move out of his presence. We can come boldly to the throne, the Bible says, but we are not supposed to come nonchalantly. We are to come venerating him more than anything or anyone else in the world. Leviticus 10:3 says, "By those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy." You see, what can happen is when we preach the love of God only, there is a danger of forgetting the hundreds of verses that talk about the fear of God. And a lack of fear, a lackadaisical faith will not stand. Yes, God is love. The Bible says God is love. And he is our friend. But friendship with the Lord is reserved for those who fear him. And with them he shares his secrets. Psalm 25:14 says, "The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them." It breaks my heart to see leaders in churches, Christian men and women of God, young adults leave the local church, leave Christ's body, and fall away from God. But I love it, on the other hand, when I see people stirring up their faith, renewing their heart for God. As my husband puts it, well, some are checking in and some are checking out. Let's be those that check in, because we're giving our hearts regular heart checks. Amen. You know what? I believe it has a lot to do with whether a person's heart has a healthy fear of God or not. Because people without a healthy fear of God start believing the world's lies about heaven and hell. Have you noticed this? Things change. Their speaking changes. About false religions? How could they believe that? About false gods? You see all these stupid things that people have in their yards. I won't go into that. About their sexuality. And they start putting other gods before the one true God. They start creating their own gospel. And you start to see a mixture come in their lives. And pretty soon we start becoming like Solomon. They start saying and believing things like a loving God will accept anything. Anything goes, because God is love. No, a righteous, holy God who created the heavens and the earth and who is Lord of all, who says, "I will have no other gods before me." He wants all of our hearts, and he wants our hearts to be walking in the truth of his word. Well, Pastor Frank at camp said that he had a close friend of his. He was also a close friend of ours that was a leader in the kingdom of God for years, who was discovered in living in his adultery and ministering the word at the same time. He had kept this hidden for years till God exposed his sin. The scripture was true when it says, "Be sure your sin will find you out." It took a while for it all come to the surface. But Frank said, I just had to ask him, "How did this happen? When did you decide to fall? When did you decide to deceive your family, your friends, and your church around you? When did you stop loving Jesus in your heart?" You know what he said his answer was? "I never stopped loving God. I just stopped fearing him." Whoa. When he said that to me, I thought, there it is again. We need a healthy fear of God. Well, as I close today, I want you to ask yourself, has Jesus slipped off the throne of your heart? Is he in charge of your life, or are you? Have you lost a healthy fear of the Lord? If you haven't, that's great. That's great. But let's make a decision to watch over our hearts with all diligence, to carefully weigh it at times, to ensure that it remains pure, to allow God to search our hearts and show us if there's any wicked way in it. I want my heart to be pleasing to the Lord. Do you? Another life verse of mine is in 2 Chronicles 16:9. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are blameless towards him." Towards him, I mean. The question is this morning, will the Lord find my heart and your heart blameless and fully committed to him today? Let's just bow our heads for a minute. Let's just close our eyes if you'd like to. And let's just take a few minutes here just to search our hearts this morning. Let's say, Lord, if you see any wicked way in me, could you expose that right now, Lord, so I can repent of that? God, if there's any areas in my heart this morning that aren't fully committed to you, Lord, or where I've left an open door to the enemy in my life, would you help me today to deal with that, Lord? Or God, if you sense that there's mixture in my life, where I've started to adopt some of the world's views that aren't your views, if I started to believe some lies of the enemy, or God, if I've stopped revering you, if I've stopped fearing you, if I've stopped seeing you as a holy, righteous, awesome God, and have belittled you in any way in my thinking or my actions, God, would you deal with me about that this morning? Search me, Lord. Help me to watch over my heart. Help me to guard it. Be quick to guard it when I see something or I hear something or I believe something that I shouldn't, Lord. And if you're here this morning and maybe you've never asked Jesus into your heart, maybe you don't know anything about this friendship I was talking about, then the Lord, I believe, would be knocking today on the door of your heart. He wants you to open the door of your heart to him. So if that's you this morning, I just encourage you to open the door of your heart to the moving of God's Spirit this morning. Because John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." He wants your heart after him. It says, "To as many that received him, to them he gave the right to be a child of God." If you want to be a child of God this morning, if you want to have a heart after him, that heart is going to lead you right into eternity. That when you die, you will have the confidence knowing that you're going to be with a loving Savior and an awesome holy God. Just receive him into your heart today. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Amen. 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 Well, I have to give you an announcement today. It's not a great one. We have to stack the chairs today. Sorry about that, but they want to paint the walls today. So let's all stack those chairs up quickly. And when we come back next week, we're going to have nice looking fresh walls. Amen.
Hey everyone, I just want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. We hope you enjoyed it and found something that spoke to you or blessed you in some way. That really is the heart of Harvest City Church, that you'd take what you've heard, learned, or experienced here, and then go out and share that good news with others. So go ahead and post this video to your page, start conversations, and who knows the lives that God could transform through it. If we can support you in some way in this season, please let us know. Maybe you've decided to dedicate your life fully to Jesus. We want to hear about it and celebrate with you and help you in those first steps. Connecting in to share the joys and the struggles of life is why we're here. Finding community is super important too. So if you're wondering about any of our programs for kids, youth, or adults, just reach out to us by phone or at the link below and we'll be in touch. To all of those who are partnering financially with us, thank you for your investment into the kingdom of God. It allows us to do what he's calling us to and reach even more people. For more info on that, go over to harvestconnect.ca/give. If you haven't already, be sure to check out our live stream chat area at harvestconnect.ca/live. It's a great place for interaction, commenting, prayer with our online hosts, and more. And don't forget to like and subscribe to our social pages and all that good stuff too. Take care, keep living your call, and we'll see you again real soon.